do those crazy things, and then sometimes it terrifies me to death that he'd want me to do some of those wild stuff sometime. Now, thankfully, he's never asked me to do half the things that Ezekiel had to do, and we'll discuss some of that here in just a second. But Ezekiel chapter 12, going to read just I guess we're going to read the first 16 verses. And as far as a backstory or context of what's going on, Ezekiel is prophesying. He's a prophet of the Lord, and he's prophesying to about Zedekiah and about the going into the captivity of underneath Nebuchadnezzar and the fall of Israel because the Lord's wrath is about to be on them. And Ezekiel is just kind of caught in the middle of it, just trying to do his best. Amen. That'd be the best way to know how to do it. Just trying to do what the Lord wants him to do, and just trying to do exactly how he asked him to do it. But in Ezekiel chapter 12, let's look at beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down 16 verses. Says, "The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight as they go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight shalt thou bear upon their shoulders, and carry it forth in twilight. Thou shalt cover their face, and thou shalt not see the ground. For I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. And I did so as I was commanded, and I brought forth my stuff by day as stuff for captivity, and in the evening I dig through the wall with my hand, and I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bear it upon my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done. So shall it be done unto them that they shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall scatter them among the nations, and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whether they come, and whether they shall know that I am the Lord." Heavenly Father, God Almighty, Lord, I want to thank you for your Bible. Thank you for your word. Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to open it up and read from it, Lord. And God, I pray that I wouldn't ever take that lightly of just having the ability to have a sound mind and just being able to read some. And Lord, I pray now that you might just help me just open up your book and expound it and show some things, God, and make some practical applications of what you've showed me. Lord, and I pray that you would open up the ears and the hearts of the people here. And God, I pray that you ultimately might get the preeminence and the praise of it, Lord. God, I pray that you might be edified in it. Lord, you did say where two or more gathered together, there but you would be with them, Lord. And Lord, we're just gathered here amongst like-minded believers just trying to get something from you. And Lord, this book is a deep well of things. God, I'm asking that you help me just draw out of it some things to just pour water on those that are thirsty and try to help those that are hungry. And Lord, I just pray that you might be exalted through it. Lord, I pray that you'd use me. I pray that you'd bring things to my remembrance that I maybe have forgotten, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd use it now. And I pray all this in Jesus Christ's most precious name. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 12, you see how You see how the Lord just uses Ezekiel, and obviously you see when he talks to Ezekiel, it's, man, even Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all some of these major prophets through there, it's a glaring testimony against Israel, amen? I mean, he's always talking about, he calls them right here in verse 2, they're a rebellious house, and they have ears to hear and hear not, for they're a rebellious house. They have eyes to see and see not. And you think about that thing, and you look at it, and I can see where people could get mixed up on some doctrine and say that God Almighty is done with the Jew, and they're done with Israel. If they just stick just to the Old Testament, it could be plain to see, amen? But praise the Lord for a finished canon, and Romans chapter 11 plainly says he's not done with them. But as we look at this, and I know that's kind of an odd 16 verses, amen, you might be thinking, how in God's green earth are we going to make that practically apply? Amen. Trust me, I got a boatload of notes on how we can make it apply. We'll see how the Lord works it out. Right here in verse 1, it's the receiving of the word of the Lord. It says, the word of the Lord also came unto me, saying. You know, it ought not to be so that the only time that you get something from the Lord is when you come to church. I've had the opportunity here recently and here to go through, you know, kind of what the Bible is and what it shows and the different things of it and how it can keep you from offending, being offended, and give you strength and comfort and help and hope and all those things, and it's spiritual food. But there's so much, I've never exhausted one of those subjects. It's only just a taste of the whole, of the principalities of it. You ought to be able to go home, and in your spare time, you ought to be able to just sit down and read and start studying those things out. And you ought to get some of those things from the Lord. You say, well, I can't see a lot. Trust me, I couldn't either, amen? I would have never seen what the Lord showed me in these 16 verses. You know what I like to do? Just me personally. I'm a preacher and I'm weird. I just like to go through the books of the Bible and write sermons that I'll never preach. Amen. That's just me, because I'm a preacher. The Lord has that calling on me and allows me to see some things. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. Everybody in here, according to the Bible, is a preacher and a minister. So therefore, the Bible is open to anyone who wants to receive it. Amen. Right here in verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord also came unto me. It's a word of receiving. You read the whole book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel never rejected anything the Lord said. He always received it. In verse 2, it says, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. You see the calls right there. It's a heart condition. Their eyes can't see the things of the Lord because they just don't want to see the truth in something. Their ears no longer hear the truth, even though Ezekiel, and you have all these prophets of God prophesying and showing things and proclaiming things, and they don't want to hear it, and they tune it out. I know most women in here could give me an amen, but don't, please. And you say something to your husband, you say something, and they never hear you, right? But they're nodding their head, amen, like they just faking it. Amen. You can go, it's okay, it's all right. Just faking it, you know, just like, you shouldn't say amen, but you know this. Anyhow, and so it's like, that's what do they call that? Selective hearing, amen? It's just really, maybe you think you have something more important, or you're thinking about something else. You have a man's a single-track mind normally, and he's thinking about that one thing, and a woman wants to talk. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, a man and woman's not the same, amen? That would be it'd be a terrible conversation, I'll just be honest with you. And so therefore, the ability for a man and a woman to talk because they're different makes it a unique conversation. Sometimes it even makes it so much unique that you don't want to hear it. You just kind of tune it out, whether it's true or not, or just a normal conversation. But here the Lord is showing Ezekiel the issue of Israel. They have ears, obviously, to hear, but they choose not to. And they have eyes to see, but they choose not to because their heart doesn't want those things. When a person really does reject the truth of God, they go downhill quick. They could be in a church. They could go to church all the time. They could go to church every time the doors are open, but they're never hearing anything. They never see the hand of the Lord moving. But bless God, they're here. They're faithful to a church service. You say, what is that? Israel, if you go even look in the New Testament, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, those were some of the most righteous people a person can look at on the outside. Amen? But the Lord called them, they were just full of dead men's bones. They had it all together on the outside, but on the inside, their heart wasn't right toward the Lord. Be careful, regardless of who you hear preach or where it's at, or even a short dissertation that it feels like an essay is being read. If you want to get something from the Lord, He'll always show you something. He'll always show you something. He'll always pour water on those that are thirsty. He'll always give food to those that are hungry. Here in Ezekiel chapter 12, not only did Ezekiel receive the word of the Lord, he received instruction. It says in verse 3, it says in 3 through 6, we won't read it all right there because there's just a boatload of stuff. He receives the instruction to go do a bunch of stuff. Get this stuff up, and you go and you're gonna dig a hole in this wall. Then I want you to, at nighttime and in twilight, I want you taking some stuff. That's just weird, is it not? Thankfully, the Lord's never said, all right, boy, I want you to go up on that street corner, and I want you, when everybody's passing by, I want you to, whatever you can think of that's weird beside, you know, normal street preacher stuff. I'll give you an example. Don't turn there. I think it's back in Ezekiel chapter 4. Here's you something. You may have not ever caught it. Picture this for a second. The Lord says, hey, Ezekiel, I want you to go down there. I want you to take a tile, and I want you to draw the picture of a city. Well, that's not too crazy, amen? So he draws a picture of the city. He said, now I want you to take an iron pan and set it up like the wall that's around it. All right, I've got to set it up. Now I want you to besiege the city. What? Yeah, that tile that you, I want you to besiege it. Ha! Got you! Okay, Lord. No, just keep doing it over and over again. I want you to besiege that tile. Okay. And he's just up there hollering at it. I don't know what he's doing. Hollering at it, and he's throwing dust on it, and he's just running around it and making a fool of himself. Amen? Does that not sound crazy? Me doing that was kind of crazy. Amen? Just like if I had a tile sitting there, that'd be even better. They just draw a little picture and an iron pan. Think about it. There's an iron pan sitting, and he's hollering at it. I don't know what you holler at when you're besieging something. You just holler at it. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get you. Ah, I'm here. People are walking by and like, oh, Ezekiel's out again today. Nut job showed back up, folks. Amen. That's weird. You know what the Lord wants from us to do? Just like Brother Randy was praying about. He just wants us to open up our mouths. Not like that. Just, hey, you know where you're going when you die? You ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You ever been born again? Those are three simple sentences, amen? But for some reason, they sure are difficult to ask. Especially to family members and people that are close. They're just hard to ask. I personally can ask a total stranger that question with confidence and calmness than I have somebody that's really close to me. Whatever that's about. You say, well, I've never besieged a tile before. Hopefully I'll never have to. I've never laid on my side and bear somebody's burdens like Ezekiel did in Ezekiel chapter 4. He bare the burdens on that one side then for so many days, and then he rolled over on the other side and bare some more burdens on other days, and the Lord put some bands on him to keep him on the ground. That's wild stuff. Lord, all he wants you to do is two things. They sound simple enough. It's just proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And then, just keep your heart right with Him. Keep your heart right. Now that sounds just easy, amen? But for some reason, that's tough for the majority of people, including yours truly sometimes. It's difficult sometimes to just keep repeating 1 John 1:9 over and over and over again. And it gets wearisome just to ask the Lord to keep forgiving you for things. And Lord, I know I'm just this and this and just keep this and this. I'm just trying to keep it right with you, Lord. Just trying to keep my heart right with you. I know you keep putting your thumb on this and this, and I'm doing my best to just try and just live for you and lift you up and just edify you. And I'm just trying, Lord. He said, I know. Just don't be weary in well doing. Just keep doing it, son. Just keep doing it. I'll never ask you to go dig a hole through a wall somewhere. And it'd be a an object lesson for somebody to see you do. You know what the Lord doesn't call you to do? To be a silent witness. And I heard that somewhere, that somebody was going to be a silent witness. They were a silent, they had a silent testimony, but they could talk. Here's you one even crazier. Don't raise your hand. I mean, you know what fasting is, amen? The act of fasting. I had a person that used to be in my youth group, and they were working one night, and a person came in to where they were at, and they weren't talking. And they were like, oh, I'm sorry, you know sign language? Because they did, and they signed them some stuff, you know. And, you know, they were just trying to nod and yes and shake their heads like, you don't know sign language, but you can't speak. So the person next to him was like, hey, they're fasting. They're fasting from what? Well, they're fasting from talking. It's like, it's kind of backing up, isn't it? You fast from something to put the flesh down. Well, maybe they were a talker all their life. I don't know. And so eventually they asked, like, why? What were they fasting from speaking for? Like, what were they going for? And they're like, well, you know, we just decided it would be a good thing to do in church one day. That sounds to me like the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Amen? Amen. It might sound great to y'all. I don't know. But the Lord wants us to open up our mouth and do some things. And when he shows us what to do, everybody's got a different ministry. Everybody's got the will of God slightly different for everybody. But there's some things that are always the common and the same. And you hear them all the time. Just try to be a good testimony. Have a good testimony. So when you do witness to someone that's in your life, they won't just believe you're just a hypocrite. Amen. 5 years ago, I met a guy. I've known him since I was 18 on a job site in Louisiana. I hadn't seen him in years. And I walked up to him, and his name's Dwayne. I won't tell you his last name. He said, hey, is that your vehicle? At that time, I had a van with about 50 stickers on it, you know, some Sletsky stickers on it, a real fanatic-looking thing. And I said, yeah, that's me. He said, I heard about the wreck and everything that happened to you in 98, and then you got saved. I said, right. I said, I did. I said, I found out that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And anyway, kind of went through a testimony. I said, are you saved? He said, oh, yeah, I got saved when I was a kid. And I could feel the blood pressure coming up in my neck. And I was thinking, I've worked some dangerous conditions with this guy. I could have died at any moment. Just hanging in the middle of nowhere from a harness. And any point in time, something could have failed, and I could have died and went to a devil's hell. Didn't know anything about this guy except what we did after work. That's all I knew. Didn't know he was saved. Didn't know anything. He knew anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't know anything about that. And so I was getting upset. And I asked him, I said, well, I got a question. I said, we worked together all those years in some rough spots and some tight conditions, and you never said anything that you were saved. He said, no, man. He said, why would I? He said, the life I lived, he said, you wouldn't have wanted my Jesus. I said, that's true. You're right, man. I said, you know what? You're right. I said, you live a pretty sorry life to be saved. He said, I still do. I said, you do know you're going to give an account for that. He said, yep, I got it at the judgment seat of Christ. He probably knew more doctrine than I did. Had it down. He said, I got it. He said, I know I'll give an account. He said, I'm terrified of that day, but I just love me more than I love serving Jesus. He said, that was his own words. I said, okay. And then he asked some Bible questions, and we talked for a few minutes, and that part was kind of refreshing, and he just went his ways. And I asked him one day, and I said, well, why don't you just quit all your foolishness and then try to have a good testimony? He said, nah, I like my life too much. I said, okay. I said, well, I guess I'll see you there, brother. He said, yes, sir. The Lord doesn't demand us to do anything. That guy's just as saved as I was. Gave me his testimony. Got saved when he was young. And just when he got older, got a job working construction and lived the typical construction life. So that guy's kind of just shirking his duty. Amen? Shirking his duty. Here in Ezekiel chapter 12, look in verse 6. In verse 6, it gives the response, if you will, of Ezekiel to this whole silliness of what he asked him to do. In their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face and see it not to the ground. For I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel Look in verse 7. And I did so as I was commanded. So you know what? Just whatever the Lord wants me to do, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's being a fool, if it's besieging a tile, if it's just digging a hole in the wall and carrying some stuff through it, going to the river, whatever. It doesn't matter because I'm doing it ultimately to please the Lord. And if the people accept what I'm doing, praise the Lord. If the people reject what I'm doing, praise the Lord. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That's an interesting, we'll move on, but you ought to underline that in your Bible. And I did so as I was commanded. Well, how are you doing on that? The things that commands the Lord's commanded you to do. How are you doing? Don't answer it, just how you doing? How you doing? Now, when a person does right, moving on after receiving the Word of God and receiving the instructions, if you will, think about times in your life when you're doing right, when you're trying to live for the Lord. When I'm talking about you're coming to church, you're being faithful, you're reading, you're praying, you're doing all the things, you're doing all you can. You're being a good witness, you're having a good testimony, trying to be blameless before men and trying to just do right for the Lord. And you're using your mouth, you're using your time and your talents to just glorify the Lord. You know what really normally comes next? Look in verse 8. It says, in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, saith unto thee, what doest thou? You know what comes next after doing right? It's that reproach that you have to bear for doing right. Ezekiel is a wild man in comparison to what these people are doing. Amen? He's abiding exactly how the Lord sees it. He hears the Lord's voice plain and clear. He sees what the Lord has him to do, even though he might not understand it fully. And he's just doing it the best of his ability, doing it exactly how the Lord says to do it. And there in verse 9, apparently, these people that he's being assigned for, they're against him. Think about that they're against him. Of all the things. Well, look at verse 9, it says, "Son of," this is the God Almighty talking, "Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou?" It's like the Lord's implying, hey, did it say anything to you while you was doing all that? Well, of course they said something. You know, what do they say? I don't know. Does it specify? It doesn't specify a lot. It doesn't specify Ezekiel's heart, which you can infer some things. You can look at it and say that Ezekiel had his heart right with God, that it didn't matter the amount of reproach he bare, the mocking, the jeering, the name-calling, the looks of shame and disgust at Ezekiel when they walked by and saw him doing this. Get something real quick. Ezekiel's a somebody, if you will, positionally. He's sitting with the elders of Judah just a few chapters back, sitting there in the house with them, all the elders gathered around, talking, and they're communicating. And now he's doing all this, and they see him. You don't think they're going to snub their nose up at him? Man, I'm never going to Ezekiel's house again. Look at this crazy fool. You with me? Think about that. You know why some people don't do anything for the Lord? Because they're just afraid of the criticism, the reproach they'll get from their family or their friends or their whatever. I will mention his name. Tony Wilson, one year we did a Christmas parade. He works at a school, and he's kind of has a position. You know, he's not like a super or anything, but he has a position that people look toward for him and for advice and counsel, and they look at him for certain things due to his position's sake. Amen. You with me? One year we were talking about putting this float in the parade, and I was making a comment. I said, I need people to help me pass out tracts and do things, and people walk with signs and all kind of stuff. And Brother Tony said, well, I'll help you pass out tracts. I was thinking, you know, somebody in a position to suffer reproach might have volunteered to drive the truck and keep the windows rolled up. They're still doing something, right? No. All night. He was on that side, I was on that side. And we passed out thousands all night. I thought about it later, and I was looking at him. He's got a He'll see those people at work. He'll see those people at the supermarket, at Walmart. And I'm sure he'll hear things. He didn't have to do that. Amen? I could have forced some teenagers to help me. He just openly volunteered. Did it two nights in a row, two different parades. Now, just thinking about that, I could care less what people think. I mean, I don't really have a position that people are going to suffer a whole lot of reproach. They may talk bad about me or whatever, tell lies. I'm okay if somebody tells a lie about me. Just, it's the truth that really hurts. Amen? The lies, they're just whatever. And thinking about what that guy put himself out there on a ledge as a target to take some reproach. You say, why? He's just trying to glorify the Lord. Just trying to do something. I mean, he's just trying to do something. Maybe trying to show his kids something. Maybe trying to show his daughter and his son. It really doesn't matter of position and preeminence or whatever it is, or position. The Lord ought to come first. The Lord ought to come first. I thought real highly of him that night. He didn't have to do that. A person doesn't have to get on a street corner and hold the sign. A person doesn't have to do anything. They don't have to go and pass out a gospel tract at work. You know what will happen when you do that, though? You'll suffer that reproach of those verbal abuses, name-calling, the fanatics, and all those things that associated with it. Those jeers and those sneers and those backhanded remarks, those off by the water cooler remarks and people are pointing and talking. You'll suffer all those things. You'll have to endure those things. Like I like here in the verse, it doesn't say anything that Ezekiel could care less what they said. Didn't care what the elders said. Didn't care what any of the people said. He just said, I went and did what I was commanded to do. And the Lord just showed back up the next morning. That's how that works. You do your part, the Lord does his part. Then he shows back up to tell you what your part is again. You know when all that stops is when you just stop doing your part. The Lord just stops talking until you do your part. And he just keeps going. You know, we don't know exactly what the response of Ezekiel was. And we don't know what the people told Ezekiel, except for what doest thou. You know how you can read something, but you can't really put an emphasis or emotion behind just a word? I've read some preaching books, ones by Martin Lloyd-Jones. He's dead and gone. And the book in itself is a great book. But I found on YouTube they have his lectures. It's not live, it's just a voice recording. And I read the book and I got a lot out of it, but then I heard him talk it and speak it and his voice inflection and how a certain sentence or a certain subject matter meant something so much that you could tell he put his heart into it. What doest thou? In verse 9. You don't know exactly how that was said to Ezekiel. With what emphasis or what heart or what malice or guile was behind it. But you can probably assume it, amen? You can probably just put yourself in that position. But you know what you do know, what you do find out? In verse 10 through 16, you might not have known the reply of Ezekiel. But from verse 10 to 16, you see the reply of the Lord. You say, what is that? Ezekiel suffered reproach from these people. He was suffering from them from all kinds of things. They had the opportunity to ask him what he was doing, but it seems as though they asked him like Pilate did to the Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? You know, what are you doing? But they don't want to know actually what he's doing. There's no sincerity in the question. It's just a mocking. It's just a making fun of. What are you doing, boy? You sure are stupid looking out there. But verse 10 through 16, we won't read it all for time of sake of time. We'll read 10. It says, say thou unto them. This is the Lord telling Ezekiel again. This is not Ezekiel's words. You with me? This is not his heart on his sleeves and he's upset because somebody said something to him. It says, say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God. I see what happened to you last night. I saw it yesterday, buddy. I was watching. You know, nothing's hid from me. There's nothing done in secret. There's no idle words spoken. There's no malice or guile spoken that I don't hear. And he goes on and tells him what to say. And he tells him why he did all that stuff that he did. He tells the people why he did it. You know, sometimes it's difficult to know why the Lord does things. Why the Lord just lets things happen in your life sometimes. Sometimes he'll give you a reason. Sometimes he won't. So far, I've just asked what he wants me to learn from it. Just show me what you're trying to show me. Just tell me. I mean, I'm just a child. I'm your child, like my son. I'm trying to teach him what lying is. You're telling the truth or versus lying. He doesn't know. So just as God Almighty is a better father, when I go through something, shouldn't I just ask, Lord, what are you trying to show me? I'm an idiot, man. I just need you to break it down real simple. Like, talk real slow, because I listen real slow. I understand real slow, and you just say it right where I can get it. With that broken and contrite heart, here lately he's been 100% of just telling me what's going on when I don't understand, when I truly don't understand. And he'll just tell me, and I ask. I'm sure that won't always be the case. I can think back in times where I ask and he has said nothing. And here lately he's been telling me. It's almost scary, amen? It's almost just scary. Right here, we won't read it. I'll just kind of give you the overview of it. The explanation in verse 11. Again, you can skim down through it. I'll just tell you a brief overview of why Ezekiel did all that. Verse 11, it just plain, so it shall be done to you. Verse 12 is the prince will, he'll do all these things. The prince will do all those things. Verse 13, the Lord will make a snare and take away them, for they want not the truth. Verse 14, the Lord will draw out the sword against them. Verse 15, they shall know that I am the Lord. In verse 16, he just says, I'll leave a few men from the sword. You say, what's that got to do with me practically? Well, after suffering the reproach, after suffering and suffering, you know, usually there's no recompense down here on earth for your reproach that you suffer. Over in Ezekiel, it talks about the judgment is not executed speedily, so the wickedness of men is continually done, or something to that effect. I didn't quote it properly. People just continually do wickedness and wickedness and wickedness because God Almighty is long-suffering up in heaven and continually and constantly giving people second, third, fifth, sixth, hundredth, 100,000th chances. And eventually, sometimes it takes death for all that mercy and long-suffering to run out. You ought to think about it. Who cares? Who honest to God cares if whoever reproaches you, the people that you have to suffer reproach from, who cares if they get it in the neck? I kind of hope they don't. Amen. I mean, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in hell. I mean, even people that are saved, I'm supposed to love them. Love the brethren, amen. Love one another as Christ loved you. You're supposed to love people and be kindly affectionate one to one another. I got that you're supposed to mark some people and there's some division, and I got all that. I got all of it. There's not many people I have to divide myself from. There's a whole bunch of people I'm supposed to love, though. What'd you think about that, though? Perhaps a person's lost and they just make fun of you for always having those tears of compassion because you care for their soul and you're always trying to warn them about a devil's hell. And they're just making fun of it, or they make fun of the way you dress, or they make fun of the way you talk or don't talk, or you don't laugh at those jokes. And you just try not to act that way. You try not to associate yourself. You try to be clean and pure and touch not that unclean thing. You're just trying the best way you can, and people just make fun of you and mock you and just ridicule you. Perhaps one day you'll be standing at that white throne judgment because that person never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, never accepted that grace, that free gift you're trying to offer. You know what the Lord's reply would be? These same six things. Same six things that he warned them about, they did nothing about. You warn a person about hell, you know, at the white throne judgment, you know what they'll get, just like these people got? Exactly what they told them you'd get. You tell somebody about a devil's hell and you warn them and you compassionately try to warn them and show them about that burning hell and that fire, and they do nothing about it. Do nothing about it. Eventually they'll see it. Just like these people. They're mocking Ezekiel. But all the things he's doing it for, they're fixing to see it. They're fixing to live it. They're going to live it. He goes on down there in verse 13. The Lord will make a snare to take away from them that they don't want the truth. The person that accepts Jesus Christ doesn't want the truth. Eventually, he'll just take that truth so far from them they can't ever find it. That terrifies me. That verse 14, where the Lord draws a sword out against them, that spiritual sword of that King James Bible will be there that day. You know what they'll know right before they're cast off in that lake of fire? They'll know the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm just surmising, kind of stretching it. Give me a little liberty on this one. As you're standing there watching them, maybe it's played back of all the times they had an opportunity of get saved, they never did, and they rejected it. Perhaps, just perhaps, Lord Jesus Christ would just look back one more time at you, the one that suffered all that reproach for him. And he'll look back and he'll just say, well, good job. I left you behind because you wanted to be back there doing something for me. That's the reason I left you down there in that cesspool of sin-soaked world and just didn't take you home early. You wanted to do something for me. I left you down there. I left you there just to suffer for me, just to see if you'd do it. And appreciate you doing it. Thank you. And he turns back to him and says, depart from me. I never knew you. And they cast off into a lake of fire forever. You say, what is that? That's that reply from the king. That's that reply from God Almighty, just like he replied to Ezekiel. He didn't tell Ezekiel not to worry about it. He said, Ezekiel, you just say this. Be careful that your emotions don't get back up. Be careful your pride doesn't get mashed when you're suffering that reproach. Because if a person accepts or rejects, it's not you. They accept or reject him. You're just like Ezekiel, doing the crazy stuff of just telling somebody about a little literal eternal future of a heaven up in glory or a burning eternal fire. You say, what is that? What if they make fun of me? Don't worry about it, man. Let the Lord of Lords and King of Kings one day make that reply. You don't tell them anything. I like Brother Donovan. He said he'll be out there street preaching. He's out there just, or door knocking or whatever, and somebody will just sneer and jeer and mock him and make fun of him. He said, I always say this, I'll see you at the judgment, friend. That's all he says. That's all he says. He said, what more would you say? He said, if I said more, it would be because I got my feelings hurt. He said, they're not rejecting me. According to Samuel, the book of Samuel, they're rejecting him. He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll give that answer one day to that smart mouth. You say, what is that? Well, you have the opportunity to have all the Word of God you want to. And you have the instructions given to you all the time. Every time you come to church, you're instructed to do something for, to get rid of something, to try to do something, to better have a better relationship with the Lord. You're always given instruction. Amen. You're always just given something. Be careful. Be careful to the best of your ability. You just don't reject it and wind up with ears that can no longer hear and eyes that can no longer see spiritual things. It's tough. It's tough. There's some tough things that the Lord puts on a person's heart. It's tough sometimes. Just try to be like Ezekiel and just do whatever the Lord commanded you to do. I'll give you one real quick. I'd said something one time to a fella, goes to this church. He still goes here. Praise the Lord. He didn't know that I even said it. I went to him at a fellowship one night. I said, brother, I want to apologize to you. I said these remarks. I said, about you, and this is what I said. He said, brother, I never knew you said that. I said, the Lord knew. I said, and for me to be right with him, he has put it on my heart to get right with you. He said, we're good. I said, okay. I said, I'm truly sorry. I said, I was just a young punk not knowing what I was doing. He said, it's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I said, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And the peace of God was on it. Just went on. And every time I see him, still smiles, waves, hugs me, and all that stuff. You say, what is that? He could have just spit in my face and told me what a low-down, dirty whatever I was. But I was just doing it because the Lord told me to do it. Amen. It's not always just witnessing and doing things. You can suffer reproach for trying to do right in all kind of realms and aspects. Just be careful. Just be careful that you don't get the view wrong when people don't see it your way. That it's not you, it's him. It's just him. And just let him answer it however he wants to answer it. If it's never answered in your life, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We won't have any kind of hymn of invitation or anything. We'll just ask Brother Gene to dismiss us in prayer, please.